All right, take your Bibles, please, and turn to Matthew chapter 21, please. And, this is the 28th Palm Sunday message that I've preached since I've been here in Pascogue. And can I be honest with you? It's getting harder and harder to find something new to say about the Palm Sunday that you haven't already heard or heard several times already. But this past week, as I was praying about this and studying and preparing, the Lord just kind of gave me a different perspective on Palm Sunday that I really hadn't thought much about. And so what we're going to do this morning, we're going to look at the Palm Sunday story, but we're instead of focusing on the events, the actual events of the story, we're going to talk about some practical principles that we can take from the story that we can use in our own lives in our daily walk with God. And so that's the angle we're going to look at this morning. So let's read this and then we'll pray. Verses 1 through 11 of Matthew chapter 21. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto thee, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. And this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitude that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God and for the opportunity this morning to look into its pages. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to us today and help us to understand the lesson that you have for us in this particular passage of Scripture. Guide us into the truth, we pray, and then help us to make practical application to our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm sure most of us have had at one time or another to stop and ask for directions. Now, the young folks, they're not so familiar with that, with the invention of the GPS system. But us old fogies, we remember what it was like to have to stop and ask directions, right? We might stop at a convenience store, we might stop at a gas station, or we might even just see someone walking down the street and pull over and ask them for directions. And many times after we receive the directions, we would hear the person say this, It's easy, you can't miss it. And then we go down the road, and sure enough, we miss it. And then we are really lost, right? But not all chaos comes from verbal instructions. Sometimes it comes from written instructions. I remember one time being in a restroom, and there was an automatic hand dryer there. And on that automatic hand dryer, I saw a little sticker that said this. It said, Do not operate with wet hands. Well, what other purpose would you use an automatic hand dryer for? Why would you use it with dry hands, right? Or this one, I remember one time being at an education conference, and it was actually held in a school, and there was a poster that said this, Are you an adult who cannot read? If so, we can help. Now think about that. If they can't read, how are they going to read the poster to tell them to come for help? But I think my favorite has to be my uncle. Many of you know that for about 75 years, my family ran an Italian restaurant, appropriately named Speroni's, right? And in the restaurant, at the far end of the room, on the other side of the dining room, there was a lounge. That's what they called it, the lounge. It was a fancy name for a bar room, is what it was, but it was the lounge. And I had an uncle who was in charge of that section of the restaurant. And I'll never forget a sign he put up just at the entrance from the dining room into the lounge. He put this sign: "Ladies are required not to have children in the lounge." Well, of course not, because the hospital is a much better place to have them, right? And so my point is that sometimes directions and instructions can be confusing. But I think the clearest and most beneficial instructions I ever heard came from the mouth of Mary, the mother of Jesus, at the wedding of Cana. When she looked at the servants and she pointed them to her son, and she said these words in John 2:5, "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." That is probably the best advice ever given. That is the number one answer to success in following the Lord. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Don't half do it, just do it. Whatever he tells you to do, you just do it. Now, the question that automatically arises out of that is why? Why should we follow the Lord's directions? Well, that's what we're going to look at this morning. And first of all, let me say that we should follow the Lord's directions because his directions are specific. Look at verses 1 to 3 again here. When they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethphage and to the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, notice now, go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and colt wither. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, the Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. So these are very specific instructions. In these verses, the Lord told the disciples three things. He told them where to go, what to do, and what to say. And I'll tell you this. We all appreciate good, simple, clear, specific instructions. And through the Word of God and through the guidance of the Holy Spirit, that's exactly what we get. We receive specific instructions. In John chapter 16, verse 13, Jesus said this: "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." You know, there are some folks that profess to be saved, and they give the impression that they would like to serve the Lord. But they're always saying things like, oh, the will of God is too complicated, and there's no way that we can ever really know the will of God for sure. But you know what? That's not true. That's not true at all. In a sense, these people are calling God a liar, because the Word of God says, as I quoted, that the mission of the Holy Spirit is to guide you into all truth. He wants to guide you and to lead you into the path of truth, into the path that is right. Psalm 23:6 tells us he wants to lead us in the paths of righteousness. And as you probably noticed that in that passage from John 16, it says it doesn't say he'll guide you into some truth. It says he'll guide you into all truth. But the problem is, many, in their effort to know all truth, remind me of some of the television talk shows like Crossfire and the old Hannity and Combs. People watch these programs for years, and where the right side and the left side come together, but no one ever convinced anyone else to change their minds about anything. You'd hear the right side, you'd hear the left side of the view, but nobody ever convinced anybody to change their views. Why? Well, the reason we never saw anybody convince anybody else to change their view is because they came with set views, and were determined that no matter how dumb their view might appear, no one was ever going to convince them otherwise. Well, you see, unfortunately, stubbornness can keep us from knowing all truth. But if we will spend sufficient time in the Word of God, and if we will spend sufficient time in prayer, then when our heart reaches that place where we want to know the whole truth, then the Holy Spirit will show us. And the reality is, we all need a lot of help, and we especially need the Holy Spirit to help us. We're kind of like the guy that prayed, "Dear Lord, so far today I've done all right. I haven't gossiped. I haven't lost my temper. I haven't been greedy, grumpy, nasty, or selfish. And I'm thankful for that. But in a very short time, I'm going to have to get up and get out of bed. And from that moment on, I'm going to need a lot of help." And to that I say, amen. And the good news is, though, that every day as a Christian, when we crawl out of bed, we can depend on the Lord's directions being specific. Not like the story of the priest and the minister who were fishing together one day in a river near the roadside. And together they made a sign that said, "The end is near. Turn yourself around now before it's too late." And they showed that sign to every car that passed by. "The end is near. Turn yourself around now before it's too late." But one driver, he didn't appreciate their sign. And so he shouted at them, "Leave us alone, you religious nuts." When all of a sudden, the priest and the minister heard a big splash. And they looked at each other. And the priest said to the minister, "Do you think we just should have put on the sign the words 'bridge out' instead of 'turn your the end is near, turn yourself around now before it's too late'?" You see, their instructions were not specific enough. But the Lord's directions, they are specific. The directions that come from the Word of God and from the moving of the Holy Spirit, they are specific. You can know the will of God. And if you couldn't, why in the world would there be a verse in your Bible like Ephesians 5:17 where it says, "Be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is"? So we can understand it because the Lord's directions are specific. So that's the first reason we want to follow the Lord's directions, because they're specific. Now, the second reason that we want to follow the Lord's directions is because they're scriptural. They're scriptural. Look at verses 4 and 5 in our text again. It says, "All of this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt the foal of an ass." Notice that the thing the Lord requested the disciples to do was scriptural. He quoted the prophet Zechariah there, Zechariah 9:9. And in our day, a big problem is that a lot of people who call themselves Christians are doing things that have no scriptural basis. That, as a matter of fact, they do things that go totally against the scripture. And those people are not following the example of Jesus. Jesus fulfilled Scripture to the very detail to accomplish God the Father's will for his life. He did everything to the detail as God the Father had commanded him to do. He fulfilled the Old Testament Scriptures about his death and his life to the very minutest little detail. And like that, the Lord's directions to us are scriptural. I'll tell you this, the Lord will never lead you to do anything that goes against the Scriptures. He will never lead you to do anything that is not according to his word. A couple of weeks ago, I was watching a Christian talk show on one of the Christian stations. And they were interviewing a lady gospel singer. And in the interview, that lady said this. She talked about how her husband was serving our country over in Afghanistan. And as he was over there in Afghanistan, faithfully serving our country thousands of miles away, she said God told her to divorce her husband so that she could dedicate more of her time to him. She said God led her to do that. Well, you know what? That lady was led. There's no doubt about it. But she was not led by God to do that. She was led by Satan to do that. I remember dealing with a man one time who, whose life, we'll say, was unscriptural. I mean, he was living a very wicked and ungodly life, yet going around telling everybody that he was a Christian. And when I talked to him about it, and told him that his life didn't line up with the Bible, you know what his response was? He said, my walk with God is deeper than the Bible. He actually thought that he could walk around and live that wicked, filthy lifestyle and still be walking with God. Well, that man was being led to, but he was not being led by God. He was being led by Satan. I remember dealing with a lady one time that was very active in a church that I was involved in. And she told me that God had led her to leave her husband and marry somebody who was young enough to be her son. God told her to do it. In that case, again, that lady was being led, but she was not being led by God. She's being led by Satan. How do I know that? Because God will never lead you to do anything that is contrary to Scripture. We need to follow the specific instructions of God's Word. One time, a highway patrolman was sitting on the side of the highway waiting to catch speeding drivers. And he noticed a car puttering down the road at 22 miles an hour in a 65 mile an hour zone. And he thought to himself, this driver is just as dangerous as a speeder. And so he turned on his lights and pulled the car over. And approaching the car, he noticed that in it were five little old ladies, two in the front seat, and three in the back seat, and they were wide-eyed, white as ghosts, and looked scared to death. Now, the driver, obviously confused, said, "Officer, I don't understand. I was doing exactly the speed limit. What seems to be the problem?" He said, "Ma'am, you weren't speeding. But you should know that driving so much slower than the speed limit can also be a danger to other drivers." And she said, "Slower than the speed limit? No, sir." She says, "I was doing the speed limit exactly, 22 miles an hour." And with that, the policeman laughed and said, "Ma'am, 22 is the route number, not the speed limit." Well, she was embarrassed, you know, and she grinned at him, and she said, "Thank you for pointing out my mistake." And then he said, "But before I let you go, I have to ask you this." He says, "Is everyone else in the car okay? because they really seem scared. They seem shaken. None of them have said a single word through all of this. To which she replied, "Oh, yes, they'll be all right in a minute. We just got off Route 135. Apparently, the lady had some confusion with directions and instructions for the road, right? Well, we need to follow the Lord's mother's advice and do whatsoever he tells us to do, because the truth is he will never tell us to do something that the scriptures tell us not to do. And so we see the Lord's directions are specific, the Lord's directions are scriptural. And then finally this morning, let me point out that we're to follow the Lord's instructions because the Lord's instructions are sure. Another way of saying the Lord's instructions are sure is to say that they are accurate. Look at verses 2 and 3 again. He said, saying unto them, "Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, the Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them." Now go down to verses 6 and 7. "And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon." The disciples found things to be exactly as the Lord told them. And the truth is, the Lord will never give us directions that we cannot depend upon. Someone said that when the Lord speaks, we can say, "God said it, I believe it, that settles it." Amen to that. One time, the famous evangelist D.L. Moody had somebody come to him and say that God had told them to give him a pair of shoes. The man said, "Mr. Moody, what size shoes do you wear?" Mr. Moody said, "Sir, if God told you to give them to me, they'll fit. Because God already knows what size shoes I wear." Interesting thought. You see, a person might have the best of intentions, but that does not mean that what they're saying is accurate. But that's not true with the Word of God. The Word of God is accurate every single time. For instance, his instructions tell us where to stand. As modern-day Christians, we face many issues that our forefathers never had to face. And there are people that are telling us, you know, where to stand on the issues of the day and where to stand concerning the sins that are so prevalent in our age. But as Christians, we must not allow people to tell us where to stand. We must look to the Holy Spirit to lead us and to the Word of God to guide us. That is just the fire department saying amen. That's what it is. You see, the reason that many today are taking the weak and compromising stand they're taking is because some person told them to stand on certain issues, and that's why they're doing it, not because God told them. But you see, our convictions are to be based on the Word of God, not the whims and fancies of the world, and not the culture in which we live. Our convictions are to be based on the Word of God. His instructions tell us where to stand. And then also, his instructions tell us when we've sinned. You know, some folks give the impression that we really don't know what sin is. But I'm here to tell you that the Holy Ghost of God knows what sin is. And if you're sincere and want to know, he will show you. There was a very frugal painter who was very interested in making a buck or two whenever he could. And he would often thin down the paint to make it go further. And as it happened, he got away with it for quite some time. But eventually, the Baptist church in town decided to do a big restoration job. And he put in a painting bid, And because his price was so competitive, he got the job. So he got started right away. He set up the scaffolding and put the planks up and went in and bought the paint. And yes, I'm sorry to say, he thinned the paint. Well, he was up on that scaffolding, painting away, with the job nearly done, when suddenly there was a horrendous clap of thunder, and the sky opened, and the rain poured down, washing the thin paint off of the church, and at the same time, knocking the painter off the scaffolding onto the ground below. Well, he was no fool. He knew that this was a judgment from the Almighty. So he fell on his knees and he cried, "Oh God, forgive me. What should I do?" And from the thunder, a mighty voice spoke and said, "Repaint and thin no more." Well, that reminds us, doesn't it, of the sure answer to sin. Repent and sin no more. See, the Lord's directions are specific, they are scriptural, and they are sure. And because Jesus' directions were followed by the disciples to the letter, it resulted in a great day, a day when God's word was fulfilled. Beginning in verse 8, notice, "And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitude that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Folks, whenever we follow God's directions, the results will be special. Whenever we follow God's directions, lost sinners will be challenged to repent of their sins and to place their faith and their trust in Jesus Christ alone for forgiveness and for eternal life. And when we follow God's directions, saved saints will be edified and built up and encouraged. Why? Because the Lord's directions are specific, and the Lord's directions are scriptural, and the Lord's directions are sure. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God this morning and for the opportunity to look into this blessed old book that means so much to our hearts and lives. And Lord, we thank you for two very specific things. We thank you for the word of God and for its guidance and direction in our lives. We also thank you for the Holy Spirit who lives within us, who gives us leadership each and every day. Help us, Lord, to pay attention to both of those things so that our lives can be what you would have them to be. Lord, we want our lives to be scriptural. We want our lives to glorify you. We want our lives to be a testimony to what you can do in people's hearts. And so, Father, I pray that you'd help us to be followers of you, to whatever it is you tell us to do in your word, help us to do it in the power of your Spirit. And we also pray this morning that if there's anybody here that they don't know Christ, they have never come to the point where they've opened up their heart and invited him in to be their Savior and Lord, to wash their sins away and give them everlasting life. Lord, I pray that they would see that this morning to be their greatest need. Lord, I pray nobody would leave here today without knowing that Jesus is in their heart, that their sins are forgiven, and they're on their way to heaven. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.